You're listening to episode 93 of the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we will have a bit of explicit language today, a bit more than usual. So if you've got tender ears in the car, maybe save this for later, because today we're going to talk about why it's so important to wake the fuck up. Welcome to the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we explore how to use the science of psychology, Eastern spiritual practices like mindfulness and compassion, and the game-changing work of self-coaching so you can free your mind and free your life. I'm your host, Anna Verzoni. Hey, hey, humans, how are you doing? All right. I have been loving doing my Wednesday Wake the Fuck Up Wednesdays. And maybe you're relatively new and don't even know what that is, but it's when I go live in the Rebel Buddhist Facebook group and on Zoom every Wednesday. And after getting to shout at the top of my lungs, welcome to Wake the Fuck Up Wednesday, I talk about a topic of the week. Now, I'd been doing those at 8:30 a.m. my time, recently moved it to 10:30 a.m. my time. So a lot of people think I'm just a morning person and I want to wake everyone up with explicatives and be like, hey, wake the fuck up. But really, there's actually a totally different reason that I called it that. And one that would make a lot of sense even if I did these at midnight. So on this episode, I want to share with you the journey that took me to why I call it Wake the Fuck Up Wednesday, because it's a story of my cancer and how some really fucked up communication became the birth of the next iteration of my business. Now, many of you may know that I started my coaching business after getting cancer. Twice, I realized that when I was diagnosed with cancer the first time, I was at the peak of a lot of areas of my life. I'd been accepted to the most competitive program for my specialty at UC San Francisco, the number one school for my program. I'd been at the kind of peak of my guiding career, getting to work pretty much where I wanted. I'd worked in Nepal, been offered a contract for upcoming season in Alaska, someplace where you like really have to know your shit to work, right? I was married to my first husband, amazing man, who was at the time living in another state, starting his new job, waiting for me to graduate so that I could move up there. And I had just moved from Coal Valley in San Francisco to go live with my friends. And I loved Coal Valley. We had like exactly one cheese shop that was excellent, one sushi bar that was excellent, one crepe place that was excellent. I mean, there was like just, it was small. There was one of everything, but they were all excellent. And I really loved it. And then I moved from there to move in with some friends in the Bay Area. And I was also on the mend with my relationship with my mom. My dad was stable health-wise. I was feeling strong, fit as fuck. I was climbing in Yosemite on the weekends, studying on the way there, like 4 hours of straight up studying each way. I mean, my life was good. And I was having tons of adventures, learning from the best of the best at UCSF. Loved my partner, having a great time, and living with my college friends. And I often described that period of my life, like it was good, but it's almost like cheating, like cooking with bacon, like everything tastes good with bacon if you're a vegetarian. And in my life, everything tasted good because I was climbing and doing rad shit every weekend. And when I wasn't doing that, I was intellectually masturbating at a fine institute of higher learning, right? I mean, how could life not be amazing with all that going on? So I met up with my first husband at Smith Rock to go climbing. And after we went to go to a pub and I had some fish and chips and a beer. And that night I was in the fetal position and in an insane amount of pain. And he went and got me some over-the-counter medicine from this like, you know, mini mart that was open in the middle of the night, something for upset stomach. And it helped a bit, but it didn't go away. And I got back to UCSF and immediately saw a provider there and was sent to get an abdominal ultrasound because they thought it might be my gallbladder. The next day I go in, still in pain, but not as acute. And they keep asking me to turn over and they're running the ultrasound on my back. And I'm like, look, I know I'm new to this whole healthcare thing, but I know my gallbladder isn't back there. Then the ultrasound tech says, I'm going to go get the doctor who will be right in. And I'm like, oh, shit. I know I'm new to this healthcare thing, but I know that it isn't good because you're not smiling and saying I should hear back from my primary care doc in a day or two. So I'm sitting there awkwardly. Doc walks in, he's smiling, really reassuring. And he's like, oh, we saw a cyst on your kidney, which can be really common. This one's a little different though. We call it a complex cyst. It's thick walls, septated. So it looks cancerous, but gosh, you're so young, like 99% chance it's not, right? You're so young and have no risk factors. And then he says, you don't like smoke a lot or exposed to pesticides, right? And I say, no, I'm forgetting all the days as a climbing guide that I like bathed in DEET so I could hike through alpine meadows after a mosquito hatch and just wear like my shorts and a sports bra. So anyway, he says not to worry. I'll probably be fine, but we should get a CT scan. And this is inconvenient, y'all, because I'm deep into midterms and then I'm deep into getting ready for final exams. And there's always stuff coming up. So I wait several weeks, right? Because he's like, it's no rush. It's probably going to be fine. So in the new year, I get the scan and it's cancer, like clearly cancer. And everyone's shocked. They're like, well, we won't know for sure until we take it out or have a biopsy. But yeah, this looks pretty obviously like cancer. And I'm so sorry. So I'm alone at this point in my friend's basement and I'm like, okay, I can do this, right? That's like my reaction, like making it like a peak I'm going to climb. But then I realize I'm really sad and scared. And I go upstairs and my friends, Jack and Lynn, already went to bed and I knock and they let me in and I tell them and I crawl into bed with them and they hug me while I cry. And later, I Google it and trying to learn about this renal cell carcinoma and that kind of cancer. It had a 5% 5-year survival rate. That means 5% of people, only 5% of people lived past 5 years. And I used to have a thought that I wouldn't live past 40 for some reason. And when I heard this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is why. So there's a lot of story between that and where I'll jump to next, but let's just say the stars aligned and I managed to advocate for a totally new surgery for this particular issue. I was even written up as like a case study. I remember being stoked about it. My oncologist was like, you don't want to be a case study, okay? But this ended up being a good one because everything turned out okay in the end. I was like 30 when I was diagnosed and they said, if we hadn't caught this, it would have caught up to you at 40. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if that was my premonition. But anyway, we got rid of it. And in the interim, between then and this next part of the story, a lot of life events happened. My first husband and I divorced, not because we didn't care about each other anymore or because of anything horrible happening between us, but it was a gradual realization. Like, we're not going to be as happy as we could be long-term together. And I started the next chapter of my life. I was working as a nurse midwife and a family nurse practitioner at a migrant farm worker clinic. I lived on a hill overlooking the small artsy town I was in. And life was starting to look a bit more stable again. And I just started my first life coach training, because I've done a few, at the Coaches Training Institute in California, which was inspired by my journey with cancer. You know, my first episode of cancer, because there was the second one, totally different on the horizon that I didn't know yet. But it really helped me see that a lot of my happiness and well-being relied on the fact that I was doing big adventures regularly and that I was at the top of my game all the time, physically and mentally. And when I was diagnosed and then having a major surgery, including a renal auto transplant to be specific, and then told that I had to like be chill and rest for a really long time. And we didn't know what it would be like later. I realized that despite my long-term Buddhist practice and meditation on death and impermanence, I really didn't have a true realization of those teachings. I was still living a wonderful life, but it was with attachment to my life as it was, a fierce attachment. I was worried I'd become seriously depressed without being able to climb again or be as strong, or what if treatments affected my brain and my intellect? So my cancer became a path for me to discover how to source happiness from within me and an unconditionally loved me. A happiness that nothing could take away, no illness, no IQ, none of that. And my meditation and study of the Dharma deepened, and I dove way into integrative medicine and functional medicine. And I started to get curious about life coaching so that I could help people create lives of true freedom, adventure, and purpose without needing to get the big C, cancer, to get clear about how urgent it was to do that. So there I am, cancer-free at that point for several years, working a dream job, catching babies, learning to be a life coach, getting my regular scans every year. Maybe it was every 6 months back then. I'm not sure. But I got a routine monitoring study done, like I usually did, and was waiting for the results. At this time, I'd also started dating again. And where this story continues is where I was with someone new at the time and very different from what I was used to. And it was a very toxic relationship, right? It was my first experience of this kind of relationship to this degree of severity. Like, I was a wreck emotionally in this relationship. So I'm waiting for my scans. And I get back from a trail run on a Friday afternoon, and I get a message from my oncologist, hey, please call me back so we can review the results. And I'm like, oh, I wonder why you didn't just leave the results. Oh, maybe it's just a routine thing to do so that people can't predict what the results are, whether they just leave you a message or not. So I call the office back immediately, and they say, oh, he's left for the long weekend, and we'll be back on Tuesday. And I'm like, what? You can't call a cancer patient with a message like that and then leave for the weekend. But he did. And I had to drive to the San Francisco Bay Area to go to my next in-person coach training. Yes, they did them in person. So I show up there, and one of my teachers for that intensive is Sabina Weiss, a Swiss soul guide who had trained with Bill Plotkin intensively, and who in fact introduced me to his work. So she's introducing us to a coaching technique and asking for volunteers to demonstrate it with. And my hand shoots up. I don't even know. Like, I'm just like, I am so anxiety ridden right now. I am so freaked out because I don't know what these scans are like. I just raise my hand. I don't even know what I'm going to say. And she's like, Anna, come up here. And she sets the tone, helps me feel safe, and asks me what I need coaching on. And I sort of talk normally at first, saying like, oh, I drove down here kind of stressed out because I was waiting for my cancer results. And I just wish I wasn't so stressed. Like, I'm so stressed about this. And I wish he just didn't leave that message. And she looks into my soul, really, and says, what are you afraid of? And I break down in tears. And I say, I don't want to die. I'm not ready. I mean, I can feel the power of that right now. Very intense moment. And she does so much masterful shit at this point. I'm like, wow, I'm with a Jedi. I don't even know what's happening. But eventually she says to me, Anna, you're going to die in 2 minutes. I'm going to start the timer in a few seconds. You're going to die in 2 minutes. And you have this time only, to tell everyone in this room what you want to say. Stand up, walk around, look them in the eye and tell them. Go. And she starts the timer. And I'm like, what? And she says, go. Okay, you have 1 minute and 45 seconds now. And I'm like, holy shit. Okay. All my barriers fall down, right? Like, okay, I'm going to be dying in 2 minutes. I have nothing to lose. So I'm messy cry, right? I have snot and tears. And everybody's kind of sitting in this semicircle or circle. And I walk around, I don't know if it was like 20 or 30 people, I don't know. And I surprise myself and I just yell, wake the fuck up. You are going to die and you don't know when. Don't live a life of regrets. If you want to tell someone you love them, tell them now. If you want to forgive someone, forgive them. Hug someone, fuck someone, make love to them, have the hard conversations with them. Stop pushing people away who just want to love you. Go do that adventure you've been longing for. Stop wondering what if and making excuses. The time is now. Let go of the anger and the resentment and the hate and the fear. Stop thinking you can do it later or some other day. Wake the fuck up. You're going to die and you don't know when or how. And I'm just like, okay. I don't know if everybody's like freaked out about me right now because I'm like really passionately and loudly saying this. And I look around and people are in tears, like recognizing this. And I don't even think I took the whole 2 minutes. Like I was spent, I was exhausted, but I said what I felt to be the most important thing I could say. And you know what, rebels? That hasn't changed to this day, which is why this day, over a decade later, I have Wake the Fuck Up Wednesdays every week. It's why I designed the Adventure Mastermind around becoming intimate with this truth, the impermanence of our lives, of our existence in this body, on this planet, at this time. And then from that place, that knowing, we do the soul work to ensure we're living the most aligned, passionate, adventurous, and free life we possibly can. Because in my opinion, you can do all the adventures you want and have all the great shots for Instagram and know you did cool shit. But if you live those adventures without the tender preciousness that comes with knowing this life, this experience on this miracle of a planet is fleeting and temporary, you're missing out on a whole new level of experience of life, of presence and joy and connection that's possible when we embrace that really all we know we have is right now. And it makes the experience of such adventures even more rich and more exquisite. And you start to see that in addition to living this life fully and embracing all of it, that really, all there is that really matters is kindness and love. Without the awareness of our impermanence, after those awesome adventures, sure, you get the dopamine hit, the high, the joy and exhilaration, the awesomeness of it, right? But then slowly, or sometimes quickly, we get the itch again and feel like our life as it is, isn't enough again. But when we are aware that we will die, and we don't know when, life is more beautiful, more precious, tender-hearted, and alive. I mean, isn't that ironic or paradoxical that in thinking about our death, our life becomes more infused with life, with aliveness, with presence and love and kindness? But it's true. And so, my friends, that is how we arrived at Wake the Fuck Up Wednesday. It's why I have this podcast, why I coach, why I created Freedom School, right? So you can learn the foundational skills you need to do deeper and deeper work. And why on the Adventure Mastermind, we go to the next level with understanding our impermanence and doing the soul work to discover our unique gifts. Why we are here and what exactly we're going to do with this one precious life and how we are going to be, how we're going to show up in this world and in our communities and in our families and relationships and other relationships, right? And why the adventures on the retreats? Like, why do I have a podcast on adventures, like that episode or many episodes and articles I've written about adventure? Why the consciousness exploration with plant medicine and altered or alternative states of consciousness with breathwork and meditation, wilderness fast, mindfulness practice? Why the surfing or the kayaking or the adventure hikes? Here's a quote I love from Steve Chandler. When you say you fear death, you're really saying that you fear you have not lived your true life. When you say you fear death, you're really saying that you fear you have not lived your true life. And that path of your authentic life and aligned life will require you to take risks, do things without knowing the outcomes, a new adventure of sorts, right? Maybe not seemingly as fun as something like traveling to Namibia, but an adventure nonetheless. Look, I began this path of exploration because while I'd been presented with these concepts numerous times in my study of the Dharma and in my travels, I thought I had more time before I had to think about things like impermanence and dying. But cancer taught me otherwise. And I still tried to buy time. And then I got cancer a second time. That's another story. But the second time, then I started to really get it. Hey, Anna, there was no half-assing to be had here. I was being asked to dive in deep into the West, into the depths, into my soul and my shadows and all that shit, right? And I don't want you to have to wait for a universal 2x4 to hit you upside the head before you start taking the preciousness and fleeting nature of this life as a sacred privilege every day. Before you do the work that really matters, knowing this in your bones and doing the soul work to realize your unique gift and bring it to the world, to your people, and to heal what needs to be healed so we don't waste time unnecessarily suffering. This life is too precious for that, too full of amazing mountains and rivers and alpine meadows and blue oceans and really trippy, wild, wacky, hilarious, and loving people. I don't want you to wait until the universe makes you see that, because it will. Right? Maybe now, or maybe, and hopefully not, on our deathbed. We don't want to have regrets like that, regrets that we didn't make the most of this precious life. You can decide to start on this path today, now. So yeah, let's all wake the fuck up. Let's all not keep putting the important shit off until later, until tomorrow or next month or next year or 5 years from now, or after I've insert the thing here, right? Made X amount of money, or after my parents pass away, or after I've done X, Y, or Z. You can plug and play here, right? No. Now. We don't know how much longer we'll be here. We've been taught that to realize the truth of that is scary. Y'all, it's just the truth. And when we embrace it, when we live like we know it because we know it in our bones, right? Then we're living with a hell of a lot more vitality, passion, love, compassion, wisdom, adventure, joy, and a whole lot less unnecessary suffering. That is what I want for you so badly. So I ask all of us as a community, let's wake the fuck up. Hey, if you're totally inspired to wake the fuck up and don't want to wait any longer, apply for the Adventure Mastermind at adventuremastermind.com. Join me and a small group of women who are on the same mission to make the most of this precious life and to stop suffering unnecessarily. A life of no regrets. To feel a sense of freedom, adventure, and purpose every day. Imagine what being expertly guided for 6 months, exploring your mind, your soul, and your life will do. Most people don't even devote an entire day to this in their lifetime. 6 months is truly game-changing. Learn more and apply at adventuremastermind.com. If you like what you heard, please spread the love and share it. And if you know you need some help with this and want to learn more about how to free your mind and free your life, go to rebelbuddhist.com and grab my free Rebel Buddhist Toolkit, where you'll receive a video training on cultivating resilience, access to the private Rebel Buddhist group where I do weekly live sessions on topics just like this, and a copy of the gorgeous Rebel Buddhist Manifesto, and more for free. That's rebelbuddhist.com.